Hey everybody, welcome to this episode of the Gaming Tailgate Podcast. I am Chris, and joining me are Tommy and Jeremy. Tonight is our first show since the release of NCAA Football 12. We're going to cover everything that's happened since then, and also share some of our favorite tips and plays in the game. First off, let's go over some general game thoughts, not only our own, but the community at large. Early impressions, if I had to sum it up in a nutshell, I think one of our community members, Mr. Hitsticks, had it best. He said this is the buggiest NCAA football we've ever had, but also the best NCAA football we've ever had. Tommy, what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, that pretty much nails it for me. I mean, before release, you know, we had the game for 2 weeks and we had some time on with it and everything like that. We didn't find all these bugs necessarily ourselves, so it was kind of, you know, we were kind of, I guess, ignorant to the fact that, of some of the problems with the game and stuff like that. So at that time, I personally was really enjoying it, and, you know, still to this day, I'm enjoying it. But at the same time, it does kind of give it a bad light on it to where it just doesn't feel right. I mean, it is probably one of the greatest releases of all time. In its current state, it's hard to say that, but it still probably falls in there somewhere. But to me, it is one patch away from being heads and shoulders above the rest of the games, assuming that, you know, they get all of these issues that we're expecting to be addressed. The custom playbooks bug is a big one. There's a lot of different bugs that are just really big that it's disappointing that they're in there, and they're not necessarily game killers. I mean, they are to an extent, but at the same time, they're just annoying that they're in there, and then the fact that you have so many just makes it that much worse of a problem.
Yesterday, EA came out with a press release and disclosed that the first 2 weeks of NCAA Football 12 were the highest selling in the history of the franchise since it moved to the 360 and PS3. They've sold over 700,000 copies, a pretty solid feat. With that, some of these bugs and issues, you talked about the custom playbook bug, which is the one where they call it the zero play bug, which is a feature that I know the hardcore guys really dig into. Casual guys, I'm not so sure how many dig into that kind of feature. Jeremy, do you think there's a possibility that some of these issues may be unnoticed and maybe ignorance is bliss, maybe for a lot of the people out there?
You know, honestly, I'm not 100% sure. I would think the general public is not going to spend an hour or two like a lot of guys will with adding, you know, plays to their own playbook tailored to how they want to play the game. It's a fine mix, though. I mean, it's not just those hardcore guys that are going to do it, though. There are going to be some people that try it out. There may be the casual guy that tries it out just to narrow down his playbook, make it easier for him to find the plays that he likes to use. So it's really hard to tell. I assume that EA could probably track how many people use it, and maybe in the next month or two we can maybe get some kind of hard data that we can release to the public to see exactly how many of the community is using it.
Some of the bugs that are out there, we talked about the custom playbook one. That's one that I haven't run into yet. I know what it is. I've done a lot of removing and adding plays, and I haven't run into it yet, which I don't know if that's a good sign or bad sign. Probably good for me, but bad because maybe what's causing it isn't real easy to run into. There's also the start screen crash. If you have a game that you get hung up on the press start button, the issue with that, we know, is delete your roster file and start over. EA developers have been on sites such as Operation Sports. They've been combing our site and other community sites. They figured out that's what's causing it for now. Delete your roster file, re-download it, you'll be good to go. And there's also a glitch related to player tendencies changing upon roster editing, meaning let's say you start the game and if you don't name any players or if you auto-name, you'll notice, for example, that QB16 for Michigan is a scrambler. You go in and make any kind of edit, you change his name manually, or you even just change his helmet or maybe put dreadlocks on him or whatever you want to do. All of a sudden, when you get to the interface, he's a balanced quarterback. We know from Operation Sports that is a glitch that will be addressed or fixed in patch number 2, along with the start screen crash. We have no date or ETA on that game update number 2. EA hasn't publicly come out and said anything. OS was able to confirm it through some kind of back channels or some other way. We're not really sure. We know what's coming, no idea when, and also no clue what else will be in it. One thing to keep in mind, and I hate to say this or suggest it, is that Sony and Microsoft's is less than Sony's, they have size limits on game updates and patches. So hopefully EA is able to get as many fixes in as possible to whatever the size is, and hopefully it's small fixes that they can do. Granted, we don't know behind the scenes what goes on, how easy a fix is or is not to implement. NCAA Football 12, reaction seems very positive. Obviously, these bugs and issues are causing heck for some people. But let's kind of talk about our favorite formations, plays, or maybe just a general at-large tip for the game that we want to share with the community.
Well, I kind of have two things I want to hit on. One is the – and I'm sure a lot of people have already played around with it a little bit, but I've been using it quite a bit in my online dynasty using Iowa State, is the pistol full house formation. The reason why I like that a lot is because Iowa State has two above-average running backs that I like to get both of them on the field at the same time as much as I can. With that, I usually put the faster running back in the back, in the far back of the formation, and then that allows me to motion him out so that he can go out for a pass. It allows me to run an off tackle with the other running back, things like that. And along the same lines, I'm using basically that second running back as a receiver just because he has good receiving skills as well. So it allows me to kind of – it kind of confuses the defense to make them think, is that running back going to be lined up as a receiver? Is it going to be in the backfield? Where is he going to be? And it kind of makes them have to adjust for that. And then speaking of running backs, my other tip that I want to share is – and a lot of people on Gaming Tailgate have probably already seen me advocate this – is you don't have to use the right juke stick as much as you did in the past. This year, you can do a lot with the left stick just by kind of slowing down with it or kind of, you know, stopping dead in your tracks, things like that, to where since the defense doesn't have the warping on tackles anymore, they'll overrun you a lot more often. You'll just simply be able to run right past them. That's the biggest tip I can offer to anybody this year that's kind of been a veteran of the game and is having trouble running the ball.
The running backs... one of my tips would be is to be patient. A lot of people may like to try to just gun, especially if you have auto sprint turned off, they just like to gun it, you know, hold down the R2 button and just sprint off the handoff. But more often than not, if you do that right away, it really leads you into either running into your own lineman or just not really getting yourself in a good position to hit those holes. So if you once you get the handoff, I think if you just hold off on the turbo and then just kind of guide your running back into those holes, I think then you just time your turbo to where once you hit that hole, then you kick in the turbo. I think you'll have a lot better success in the running game, especially with as tough as the defense is this year. In regards to a favorite play of mine right now, until the next patch hits and then I'll dig into a custom playbook. I'm using Nebraska's playbook since it's usually my alma mater and all of my online dynasties. One of my favorite plays is in the shotgun tray open formation. It's called slot drive. It's basically giving you five targets that are doing five different things in terms of running routes on the play. Your two out receivers, one's going to run a streak straight down the field. On the other side, that receiver is going to run a deep post. And then you got your slot wide receiver. One of them's going to run an in route, probably about 10 yards out, I would say. Another receiver on the other side there with the tray, he's going to run a drag route. And then you finally got your halfback, he's going to run a swing route. So you've got five different routes in that one formation, and that should almost guarantee you that something is going to be left open there. So if your four wide receivers are not covered, maybe check it down to that halfback that's swinging out in the flats.
I'm glad you gave that play because now I know what to defend when I play you in Online Dynasty. So that really was a big
right.
That was a big help. I appreciate that. You actually also stole the tip I was going to give, but I'm still going to repeat it and maybe modify it a little bit. It's something that the Madden Bible guys who wrote the NCAA 12 strategy guide and the writing the Madden 12 strategy guide, they said turn auto sprint off. And like you said, the big thing is to be patient when you hit the turbo button, which is R2 or the right trigger. That I had some trouble running the ball early with the game at the community events and then also when I got it on retail. And it really helps a lot to turn that auto sprint off and be patient. Don't hit that turbo until you've hit the hole or you've gotten outside. Then hit it. I think if people do that, that'll really help the running game if they're having troubles. And with that, run some formations such as I like the Maryland I to run out of. You get an extra blocker. It's really a power set, obviously, that sometimes – don't get too cute or fancy and think you're going to run out of shotgun or run out of a four wide receiver set. sometimes just line up and overpower the other team. And I think Maryland I really helps people do that. I have that in my custom playbook. I really enjoy it. And it's really I found there's nothing that discourages a defense or a user player more than just running the ball at them and they can't stop it. And I think using power sets is the best way to accomplish that in NCAA Football 12. We've been lucky enough to go to EA community events in the past for NCAA Football. EA is kind of pulling the curtain back a little bit and showing everyone at home what it's like at the studio, what goes on in making a game from production to marketing to just exposing the game to people out there. With the making of NCAA Football 12, which is airing on ESPNU, as of this recording, 2 episodes have aired, 2 to go. I think it's a pretty interesting show. Some of the stuff, obviously, we know behind the scenes, going to events and whatnot. But what are your guys' thoughts on it? The community thoughts have ranged from very interesting to something just a marketing ploy. But which I can agree with both takes of that. Jeremy, what do you think of the show so far?
I'm really enjoying the show so far. It's given a little bit of insight that even guys like us that have been to EA Tiburon many times, it's given a little insight into the lives of the developers. I especially like the piece they did with Jeff Lohr going to his house and playing on the latest development build with his son, you know, and his son's actually pointing out some things that should be fixed, and that kind of aspect of it is really cool, and so far I'm really enjoying it. I think maybe if they tend to do this for a yearly thing, I would definitely love to see them get a lot more in depth in the actual meetings and development process, especially I think with the meetings. I'd love to see a lot more of those shown if they do decide to run this next year.
To the comment of somebody made that it's kind of a marketing ploy, I can actually kind of agree with that. It's as somebody who's already been down there and kind of seen behind, you know, a lot more behind the curtain than they've currently shown us, it definitely comes across that way. But at the same time, I don't know that the show itself is targeted to the people that visit forums every day, kind of already know at least a little bit about what things go on, stuff like that. I think it's more targeted to those that are kind of removed from the game altogether. And, you know, maybe they just buy it once every few years or whatever. So, I mean, in that sense, it is kind of a marketing ploy to kind of get people who may have a passing interest in the game to say, hey, maybe I'll go get the game this year. But like JB said, I would like to see them go more in depth with things, you know, whether it's covering more meetings, you know, basically getting to know more about what actually goes on. And unfortunately, they're not going to be able to do that in a 4-episode series. But, you know, maybe it's something that they can do as a longer series, and maybe something that it doesn't necessarily have to be right around release or anything like that. I know that's kind of hard to do because you obviously you can't have your audience sign non-disclosure agreements or anything like that. So it's kind of hard to decide what to show them, what not to show them. But like I said, it'd be nice if they could kind of draw that curtain back even further and, you know, maybe even show us some of the things that we as people have been down there don't necessarily get to see inside. You know, I don't know. It's interesting to see, but at the same time, it's kind of one of those things that it's not targeted to me, so I'm not going to get as much enjoyment out of it as somebody else.
Make sure to visit thegamingtailgate.com for NCAA Football 12 news, discussion, tips, strategy. Our journal discussion has a sub-forum for reoccurring issues. Maybe if you're seeing some of the stuff we talked about as it relates to bugs or issues. And as well, make sure to visit our wish list and feedback area. We want to know what you want in the game, so we can relay it on to developers. And also, later this fall, we'll have the NCAA Football Community Wishlist Tournament returning once again. Already penciling in some aspects for seeding. It's going to be a lot of fun, I think, to track and see what items emerges this year as the community must have for NCAA Football 13 and also down the line. For Jeremy and Tommy, this is Chris. Everyone, thanks for listening to this edition of the Gaming Tailgate Podcast.